I'm going to be honest with you. That is the seat that is more people like.
No so, way. You have pillows all around you.
You want a pillow? You can have a pillow.
You also have a pillow!
But you're like tucked in, like a little comfy bear.
Oh my fucking... Fuck you, dude.
Sound speed.
Oh, so you know sound speed.
Okay, I know you don't.
Fucking, okay.
Can you give it a smooch?
No, I'm not gonna give it a smooch. Okay,
sorry.
I'm angry.
Why?
You've already made me so angry.
I just want to do the advice show with
you. You just want to do the advice show with
me. Yeah, I want to give good advice.
You think you'll give good advice?
There's people in need who need advice from me. Right?
I'm opening the form. Oh my god.
Huh? Is that real chain? Right here in front of you.
What are you fucking talking about?
Jesus Christ. Chain in front of you.
Oh, the giant chain.
Is it real chain?
Yeah.
That's real chain?
That's real chain?
Just never been in here, man.
Hmm.
Sorry, I'm a little explorerish.
You just...
Sorry, I was trying to see if the neighbors are home. They're not home right now. What's your deal?
I'm stressed, Nick.
Why are you stressed?
I'm stressed because the fucking... Look at this. Look at me.
I told you to put a shirt on.
Look at me. No, I didn't have time.
You did! Choice.
Dude, I had a shirt on, and then the Red Bull police came in and stole what I was wearing.
Yeah, they stole
because
me.
Because it's athletes only, and I had to fucking strip.
And now you're just...
And I found a jacket. I have a... Apparently, Ludwig and Cutie got this for me 2 years ago, and then lost it. And then this is a gift from Cutie.
And the Ludwig vultures come out, and they find their jackets.
And so, in it right now, there's a bunch of stuff from an old place that Ludwig used to live in, and it was in the garage of it for a long time, and now it is in our office, and we've been like picking through the pile and the scraps.
Don't say we. It's like you shake.
Dude, I haven't even picked yet.
You did. You have a jacket on.
I was given this.
It's
I was handed
picked
it
out of the.
You buy the people
out
who
of the
bought it as a gift
the,
for me
out of the stink down there. You picked the jacket.
I didn't pick it up.
You did.
I literally didn't.
You took the tag off.
No, actually, Ludwig took
you're
the tag off.
You're getting real comfy.
Ludwig took the tag off.
Dude, stop using other people as an excuse.
Ludwig literally took a katana, which is also in the pile, yep. And then he slipped it in the tag to cut off the tag off the jacket.
He does that.
While I was wearing it. And I was like, maybe don't do that. That doesn't seem safe. And then he did it anyway.
HR wouldn't have been happy about that.
At our place of work, no less.
Yeah,
a katana
at the
threat.
Actual office.
And I'm you're telling me I'm not the athlete, Red Bull?
You can't say that, actually.
Telling me I can't fucking...
You can't say that.
I'm stressed, dude. I'm fucking... I should get to wear the merch. Instead, I had to strip down in the middle of the office. That's not HR approved either, making me strip down in front of my boss.
I've seen so much more of you.
You have?
Yes!
Yeah, that doesn't count. Because we're friends.
Ah!
What have you seen more of me? Oh, the pool?
Yeah.
I did jump naked in the pool once.
Saw so much.
So much? My... No. What would you have seen?
I just saw two cheeks flying through the air.
Oh, two cheeks.
Flying through the air.
yeah. Two like white cheeks in the dark.
I like these crates.
You like the crates?
Yeah, because like,
I don't think they've ever seen the crates.
No?
No.
There's no way to point the
we
camera
We have
down.
Crates below our feet like apple boxes because the seats are up so high.
Yeah, because we're a little short. Aiden's not even short, but he needs them.
Yeah. This is seat is so high that I need it.
I mean, that is the cool seat.
I imagine if you're listening to this, you're wondering why Nick Yingling is here.
Bro, we got racks.
Hopefully you're not disappointed. Yeah, we have racks in here. Oh, shit.
It's because no one wanted to do the advice show with Aiden.
It is true. Nobody wants to do it with me right now, which has been...
Why?
I don't know. I think it's because I'm killing the vibes.
Wait, that's a bad thing.
I'm murdering the vibes.
You sound like you're proud of that.
Yeah, because it takes a real goat of the game to murder the vibes like that.
So how many advice shows have you done?
About 90.
Can people really ask a new question every single time?
Well, here's the thing, is they don't. This is, we have, I'll give you a total, give you a little insight. When I open the form, we have 2,497 submissions to our form.
And like, how many of them are like, various, not and like, this, they're obviously different like things,
yeah.
But like, They're like similar, like you could give two people the same advice, even though their situations are
yeah, absolutely.
Probably different.
So I can give you a walk through the major categories.
Yeah,
if
let me hear.
We try not to repeat, but the general common ones, and if you're wondering why your question didn't get picked, a lot of the time it's because it falls into one of these categories that we've taken the time to answer on multiple occasions. The most common one is, what do I do with my life? Like, I'm in college.
That's pretty funny.
I'm in college and I'm out of college and I have no like passion or direction. And like, what do I do? That is a very common question. And I think we answer this pretty early on a few times, sort of in different versions, but that question still comes up all the time. Cause I think what's happening is like, there's a role of people who have signed up for the tier that the advice show is in who haven't listened to the backlog yet.
Oh, I see.
So eventually repeating questions is like kind of fun.
They're new and they want their question.
Yeah, and I think most people haven't listened to every single advice show, which I get.
Maybe if you were a better host, they would.
If I was a better host?
I mean, thoughts?
I'll leave you in charge of this shit, not pay you.
Wait, no, I'd
make you do it.
Wait, I'd do it for like half of your $2 million salary.
I don't make $2 million.
Dude,
Nick Haley has been doing this bit where he goes up to strangers or people we've met very recently. And then he tells them that I make $2 million a year, which is not true. I'm doing well. You guys as patrons probably know that. But I promise you, it is nowhere close to $2
million. Whatever you say.
And you're just telling people this.
I mean,
dude, like, he can buy it. He makes $2 million a year.
It's the truth.
Bro. I don't even know if Ludwig was making $2 million a year when he was on Twitch. Like, if you exclude the Summathon, I don't know if he was clearing $2 million on Twitch.
I have a secret for you.
Yeah.
I've submitted a question to the advice show a long time ago.
Yeah.
But not as me.
Wait, really?
And I've been waiting for
you
to
answer. How did you even have access to the fucking form?
I'm a sub.
You're subbed at the tier to like.
I mean, I'm logged in to the Yard Patreon.
Oh, that's
so
true.
I can see everything.
Never mind. You're right. That was stupid.
I'd be answering the Discord.
What did you ask?
Oh, well, I asked a question, but it wasn't like as me. I pretended to be someone.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for you to find it one day.
If it's in the backlog, like I'm probably never gonna find it.
Then it's Jover. You'll never get there.
Wow. Do you remember
really
what it was about?
It,
do you want advice?
Did you actually want advice about something, or
was it like a meme question?
It's not advice. It's just something that you might think is funny.
Okay. And we might not have read it. Do you know if we have or haven't answered it?
Because
I feel like you haven't listened to all the episodes.
Advice show.
That's bullshit.
It's true.
That is not
true. It's
true. You do not listen to all the advice shows.
I watch every single one.
What? Who was on the show last week? Who's on the most recent episode?
Nick.
Nope. All right. I failed the test.
It
was just me. I did the episode alone last week.
You did it alone?
Yeah.
I would have done it with you, man.
Hmm?
I would have done the show with you last week.
I didn't think about that. And then I thought about it this week.
That's fucked up, man. I would have done the show with you.
Well, you're doing it with me right now.
Damn, everyone hates advice. They made you do it alone?
Dude, you just got me... I feel like you're gaslighting me.
All right.
You got me all riled up.
I don't.
Yeah. Why do you do this to people?
I don't do anything to people.
You do. You rile them up, and then you lie.
I don't rile anyone up.
You keep it 79
what
max.
What does me lying have to do with riling people up?
It riles people up when you lie to them.
I did not lie to you about anything. You don't even have a shirt on.
It's not my fault.
It is.
It's not my fault. They took my clothes. Okay. The first question. This was a hard question. This person is 35 and they're anonymous. I was not really sure. Hey guys, I, 35-year-old female, and my partner, 34, non-binary, have been together for 15 plus years, married for 12. But
Holy.
7 years ago, I got very sick and I'm now disabled. It was kind of like a long COVID before COVID was a thing. I won't get too much into it, but for context, just know that I get very fatigued along with other symptoms. I use a wheelchair to get around, and I am unable to drive since my reaction times are slowed, and I have a chance of falling asleep while driving. This means that I am completely reliant on someone to drive me, and I am unable to help with basic tasks like grocery shopping. While we live in a city, I am not able to use public transportation, nor do I have the capability to ride a bike. My partner throughout all of this has honestly been great. They are understanding and try to support me in whatever way they can. And they never make me feel bad for not being able to do equal household chores or bring in money from a job. The problem comes in when I talk about potentially moving to a location that may be more accessible and that I firmly believe will improve both my quality of life and theirs. We are in one of the top cities in the US for public transportation and accessibility, but it's still woefully lacking due to the current car dependency in this country. So just moving to a new city in the US won't fix this. I ideally would want to move to the Netherlands. Pretty much any city there would do. All of the bike lanes in the country allow wheelchairs and motor scooters in them, and they are everywhere. The cities are also compact and walkable, so I could leave my house and go get groceries without needing outside assistance. I could feel more like an adult again and feel less guilty for not being able to help in the ways that I enjoy. Also, trains. While my partner acknowledges that these things are true, they hate moving. They hate the idea of trying to immigrate to another country even more. We have had many, many conversations about this, but most end up in some sort of weird middle ground. I know that they are the one working, and ultimately they would have to be the one getting a new job. The job availability is decent, but by no means guaranteed, but also not the specific issue at hand. So since I rely on them and I don't want to make them feel guilty, and even if I wanted to, I cannot move without them. But I also see so many pros and not many cons to the move. I can do so much of the planning on my computer, so they wouldn't have to deal with the planning logistics or anything like that. I know there is no way for random people on the internet to fix this, but I'm mostly housebound and don't have many people to get input from. So if you could, what are your thoughts on this? Since I'm relying on my partner to be my full-time caretaker, should I just accept their choice of location and make the best of it? How much is too much to ask? I'm fully okay with that answer to be that I'm being unreasonable. I just don't have any data from outside sources at this point. My therapist is very non-committal. Thank you for taking the time to read this. It's very appreciated.
That is a insane situation.
Yeah, welcome to the fucking advice show, dude.
Dude,
where we change people's lives.
Don't act like this is a normal question.
This is a normal question. You know what I was talking about? Like the most common categories of the question? We actually get this one all the time.
This is like this is your most uncommon. There's not even a category for this question. This is so hard to even wrap my mind around. Like, it's a situation that like I physically could never put my own feet in. Like I don't think like we will ever have to deal with something like this. And it's, I think, very hard to like think about all the variables sometimes to like give someone like your thoughts.
Yeah.
Without like spending an hour.
This is the advice show, bro.
Dude, stop saying that.
People ask us crazy shit.
Oh, suddenly it's crazy. After
not this one. This is not, I wouldn't say this is crazy. This is a difficult problem, but I don't think it's like a crazy problem. There's been some crazy ones. I'm telling you, we could go into the Disney vault if we needed to.
Don't say the Disney
we
vault.
We could crack open the Disney
Don't
vault,
say the Disney
get
vault.
One of the old VHS tapes out of a crazy question. But I do agree with you. That is the general challenge with asking these questions. But I think people ask them with an understanding that we're not necessarily dealing with the same problems, and they just want their perspective. And they supply as much information and context
that
give us an opportunity to answer. I was cut from one angle. You have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do when you guys decide to move somewhere together? Like, what if this is an impasse in your relationship? How would you deal with it? Remove the context of the caretaking. What would you do?
Well, how do you just remove the context of the caretaking? Isn't that like...
Well, that is a huge part of it, right? But I think if you remove that layer, there is a general question of like, I think it's a common problem in a relationship of like one person really wants to move somewhere else and the other person does not. And every aspect of their relationship other than that is not really a problem.
I wonder, do you think this situation of moving would be like the same if it was just a state over? Like, I feel like
people could be as steadfast about being unwilling to do it. Yeah.
I feel like the friction of a whole nother country is like way more on the brain than like a state over, you know?
Oh yeah. There's definitely layers to this. I think maybe for starters, person who asked this question, you're kind of insisting that you can take care of a lot of the work of the process. But I think from also what you're describing, I think inherently with something like this, it does leave your partner with a lot of work to do as well. Not necessarily because you're disabled. Is that, hold on.
Yes.
Yeah, you did say disabled. Not because of that, although I'm sure that it could potentially contribute in some ways. But not, I don't see that as like the main reason. It's just an inevitability of immigrating somewhere that your partner will have to put in a significant amount of work in, like, the process of like the application, the move itself, gathering their stuff, thinking about what they need, buying stuff in the new place. It is an arduous process, however you slice it. And as someone who really wants to move as well, who really wants this for myself, there are so many bits and pieces to figure out. Like watching my parents figure this out when we came to the US, even from Canada, there was so much like bullshit to sort through on top of all the like normal things like, okay, well, we need a new coffee table. We need a new TV. And I think you can't underestimate that amount of work. And there's no way for your partner to like significantly escape a share of that workload and like making the move happen. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. This is really tough with the caretaking part, because it seems like you have a really great person in your life who is super supportive, doesn't come across as like anything but loving, like there's no like resentment or anything like that. And they give you a lot of like stability. And it seems like the issue here primarily has to do with you feeling good about yourself and like your autonomy in your own life, which is a totally understandable thing to feel like frustrated about. But I do think that your partner is in a situation where they're doing so much and this asks so much of them. It's very reasonable for them to basically draw the line of like, I will not do this. Whatever the reason may be, I think living somewhere is a very like personal and intrinsic part of like people's identity, and heavily shifting that is really hard for some people. I would say most people. And if this is just the line they draw in your relationship and there's like no compromise here, I think it's a very reasonable thing to draw that line over. I don't think you're being unreasonable by prodding about it and asking and like noting things that would be better about life in the move. I think those things can all be true, but I don't think there's any obligation for your partner to like compromise or say we can do this in 5 years or make some sort of commitment, because this is a dramatic shift that I think a lot of people wouldn't be ready for. I think for you, only you can gauge like how viable this move is without them, if it's worth leaving them to like accomplish that or make that move in your life, because that's what might be necessary. I'm not at all recommending that. It's more like you have to weigh the like pros and cons of like whether or not that's even on the table, if that would make you happy, if that improvement in your life, that better hold over your own autonomy, would make you happy enough to give up this relationship in that part of your life. And I can't make that decision for you, but it's that is the crux of like what needs to be weighed here, because you've already done the hard part. I think a lot of versions of these questions that we get is people will have a problem like this
and they won't want to like,
but they haven't talked to their partner about it, or they've barely talked about it. They haven't like presented the issue or presented like how important the issue is to them.
Yeah. It sounds like their communication skills are like light years better than like any normal human.
I mean, I would I think it's like, also it's like they've been together for ages and this person is also like just, you know, further along in life than our average submitter.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, definitely.
I'm not surprised that the 19-year-old is like not good at communication in the relationship.
But yeah,
it's
but
like,
I mean,
you gotta have that shit nailed by the time you're 35, you know?
I mean,
but you hope so.
Yeah. I think still like this situation is unique and can still be tough to talk to your partner sometimes still. Like asking, talking
yeah, this
to them
is
about
a, that,
it's like
that's
still
true.
Tough to talk to somebody about that.
I think this is a really heavy topic to breach, like no matter what. So you're right.
The fact
that you've had these conversations, person who submitted this, I think is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've accomplished like probably the hardest part in talking to them about it and trying to like talk to ask them questions about it. I do. It is unfortunate that the U.S. is just like
shit in a lot of ways. Yeah,
it just feels like I think they said they were in like the best state.
Yeah, one of the best cities for public
transportation. Place for their situation, and it is still like pretty, like, not great.
I'm curious where that is.
I assume, you think it's New York?
Might be New York. Yeah, New York's the only one. Well, yeah, New York's the only one with, like, really, really comprehensive, like, train infrastructure, I feel like.
Yeah, it's, like, the best place. Like, I mean, I guess DC kind
of. DC kind of. Boston's is, like, okay. It also
maybe a college town of some type?
I don't know.
But basically, like, I mean, it's kind of sad that, like, our best place like that is, like, dog.
Yeah, it does suck that the best option. I mean, if you could, like, look closely at what other U.S. cities might be a slightly better fit, like, you live in one of the cities we mentioned, like, I don't know, the Bay Area is, like, pretty good. It's going to be really expensive there. You know, BART is, like, okay. The buses are, like, okay. I'm not recommending you make that move. I'm just, like, that came to top of mind. Yeah. Or, like, Seattle's is getting better. It's, like, is there hope for somewhere in the U.S. that would, like, compensate this a bit? Maybe, like, there's a compromise in, like, trying Canada, but there's, you know, I don't know if these places, like, match enough of, like, what you actually want out of the move to make this, like, viable.
Yeah, I'm curious if there are cities in the U.S. that, like, actually try to build to help people who are disabled like that, and, like, very specifically, yeah. Like, there are, like, unique cities in the U.S. who try to make it better and easier on life.
I guess that's true.
I mean, honestly, she's said a lot of details, so I feel like maybe she's already looked, but if you haven't, I feel like there may, like,
it, or even specific neighborhoods in specific cities.
Yeah.
Like, LA on the whole, dog shit public transportation.
Yeah.
But there's little subsections of LA, or little, like, sub areas of sub areas that are, like, really walkable or good in, like, a tiny area.
I feel like Culver City is kind
of
like
that.
Yeah,
Culver's definitely like that. That, like, one section of Culver that has a bunch,
like,
of bike lanes.
They have, like, a train above them too, and there's, like, a big walkable. Yeah. Like, there's, like, definitely small places, and maybe they're not growing, but they just have it figured out for their little small area.
But it seems like a big ask of this person is, like, a simple thing that might improve their quality of life is, like, living close enough to walk to, like, the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I think a version of that is something you could find in the U.S. It's, like, what small details of what you're seeking from the Netherlands can be sought in, like, a different area of your city or a different U.S. city entirely, and maybe your partner is, like, more up to that. And then you can, like, make the compromise on your end that gets them to, like, make a change.
Yeah.
I it's so funny from the way you've written this question. I'm really curious if you watch Not Just Bikes, because I'm guessing you do from the just the details and the location and notes. But this is a really tough one because it's weighing something in your personal life that we can't like necessarily be the judge of. But I think if you're looking for this answer of, like, who's being reasonable and unreasonable, or is this, like, a bad ask of my partner? I don't think you're being unreasonable. It's a good conversation to have if you, like, feel this way, but I think your partner is being really reasonable when they draw a line about saying no to doing this. And not just because of the work required to make a move like this, but also because of it's just a huge life change. Like, it's far away, different culture. Like, it's a big shift in so many ways beyond the immigration paperwork and the new furniture you have to buy and stuff like that. And keep that in mind. Best of luck figuring this out.
That is like such a hard situation to even like wrap my head around, honestly.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've changed lives with the questions you've asked or answered?
You think I've changed lives?
Do you think you've changed lives with the questions you've answered over the advice show, you know, over the course of all 90 episodes in the Disney Vault? Do you think you've changed some lives?
No. I don't think I've changed any lives. Like, not in a dramatic way.
Do you think anybody took your advice?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, 50% or more?
Oh, less than 50, I bet.
It is unfortunate. I feel like there was not really any advice given.
In that one?
Yeah.
There's not. I think just that one's pretty tough.
Like,
there's because some questions are like, you can't.
Maybe she just wanted our thoughts. Like, give, maybe just for like someone as like an outsider to like give thoughts on the situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I had nothing like advice wise to like say to that person.
Yeah.
It's just like such a unfortunate situation that I don't know how to even like
answer.
I think there are some questions like that where we, like a couple weeks ago, we got this question that someone who lives in Saudi Arabia and can't move is gay, and they were asking us for like our general advice, and me and Anthony were like, this one's tough. You know?
Yeah,
some questions are just like that.
Dude, it's crazy because like when you get questions from people in different countries, it's like the culture is so different that it's not just to just be yourself and go do what you want like how it is here. It's literally just like, I don't know.
Even here, I think sometimes like people have really difficult like family situations and stuff like that that like make just doing something they want to do really, really challenging. Dude, I'm trying to find the next question, and I think, I don't know, maybe the person like unsubmitted or like deleted it.
Unsubmitted.
That's
question.
What I was thinking. It's like, I didn't think there was a way to do
you're
that.
You're not responsible.
Dude.
Dude, it's like,
let me.
It's crazy, man.
I gotta look
it up. You pushed advice
cheat.
Back like an hour and a half, and then you don't have the questions ready, and I just don't know what to say. You know, you think the guy saves his questions.
Okay.
For his show.
Whatever. I found the question in a different way.
That's huge.
This one is from, this one is 20, they're 23. This is Lewis. And, hey, this is a, get ready, Yangling. It's your first sex question on the advice show.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Yard Boys. I'm a 23-year-old male, and I'm struggling to deal with the fact that I'm dating someone who has a low sex drive. Some context, in my previous relationship, 3 years long, neither me nor my ex had extremely high sex drives. For me, I needed like once or twice a week, but my ex was more like a once a month type of gal. But leading up to the breakup, I found out that my ex had always felt obligated to like sex due to societal pressures for women to like sex. The reason why she didn't like it, for her, it just almost always hurt. Upon learning this, I thought that it might just be a phase and hope that she'd grow out of it, but I would never push her for sex as I'd hate to make the woman I love do something she doesn't want to do. So I practically became celibate for the next 10 months until we broke up in November of 2022. Now, during those 10 months, I would suggest sex to my ex, and every time she would just brush it off. It began to fuck with my confidence. So when I opened up to her about it, she suggested a one-way open relationship in favor to me. Part of me thought this was some kind of test or something, because for most guys, it sounds too good to be true. But I think that she might have been serious. But I refused, because at the end of the day, I wanted to have sex with just her, the woman I love. And I knew that I went through with the plan, we'd only hurt each other. Like I said before, we broke up in November 2022 because we had just moved cities together and started new jobs and needed to focus on those things. And I soon found out a couple months after that she had started banging her boss.
Right.
So obviously I went into self-destructive mode and started asking myself, was it a me problem? Unfortunately, my ex blocked me after we broke up, so I don't think I'll ever get closure on this, and that's something I've come to terms with. So moving on to my current girlfriend, I started dating her almost 9 months ago and now, and things were going great. She's everything that I've wanted and more. But during our honeymoon phase, we both had high sex drives. It's died down and we're more settled together now, but one issue I have is that her sex drive has depleted almost entirely. Mine has reverted to once or twice a week again. Now in these 9 months, she's never once initiated sex. It's always been me, and it's never been spontaneous either. To test whether she would or not, I went in a month and a half without initiating just to see if she would or not. She did it. This obviously hurt me, so I confronted her about it, and she claims that once she settled down in a relationship, she just never gets horny. For her, this was a sensitive topic to bring up because this was a problem in her previous relationship as well. Now, given my previous relationship, I think it's understandable I feel the way that I do, and I ask myself, is it a me problem? I know she isn't the same person as my ex, but I guess I'm a bit traumatized from that. She's always very aware, she's also very aware of my past relationship and understands that I feel the way I do, but obviously I couldn't just ask her to just flick on a button and fix the problem. It's not who she is. So far we've gotten to a compromise where I kind of have to ask days ahead because she needs to mentally prepare for it, which I guess I can live with, but I do crave the spontaneity in her initiating it. It makes me feel wanted and desired. I guess the question I'm asking is this something that I just have to deal with? Because I don't want to break up with her. I genuinely love her more than any of my past relationships, and I can see a future with her. I know there's other fish in the sea, but I also want, but I only want her, and God damn it, she was hard to find. I'm sorry if this is long. I feel as though a lot of the context is vital, but I'm actually missing out a lot of the I'm actually skipping a lot of the info to keep it shorter. You guys remind me of me and my high school friends, who I don't really talk to as much anymore, so y'all give me a safe space and something to look forward to every week, so thank you for that. All right, Yingling, what are initial thoughts? Because I have some thoughts.
My initial thoughts are, I feel like I've been in an exact same situation when I was like 19 years old, and I feel like if I could go back and like talk to my younger self, I probably would have just been like, you just need to press this issue and like not like, like I feel like we, I would hang out with my ex-girlfriend a lot, and like we would like hang out and like maybe we would have sex, or maybe like we would like make out a little bit, and then I could like notice that like she wasn't like, she didn't like want to have sex. Like I could obviously feel she didn't want to do that at that moment in time, and I wish I would have like told myself to like talk about it with her, because like I feel like it just like mustered feelings inside of my brain that like were similar to what he was feeling. And I wish that I could also have talked about it at that time, because I feel like you just have to keep talking, like communicate as well as possible about like this specific issue. Because like, I mean, there's nothing else you can really like someone's sex drive is just their sex drive. I feel like,
yeah.
Like I feel like now, like I do not want sex like every other week or so. Like I feel like I could not have sex for like a week or two and be fine. And that's totally fine. But like, back when I was like 19, I like would want to have sex more, but I just feel like being as crystal clear and like asking like deep questions that maybe you like are not comfortable asking. Like, I feel like if I could tell my younger self, like, you should like ask, like, why do you feel like you don't want to have sex? Or like, are you like feeling bad? Or like, is there something I'm doing or stuff like that? Like,
yeah, there's
like there could be things that I am doing to make her like not interested at that moment, and it could be a situation where like she, like he was saying, like she was traumatized with her ex or whatever. It could be a similar situation like that. It's just like this little thing you're doing that is like bothering her that you can easily just not do, you know. Those are kind of my initial thoughts.
Yeah. I think I have kind of two answers to this question, and the first answer I'll answer by taking what you're saying kind of at face value without digging into it too much, and just assume, you know, everything as explained here is like probably the way it's happening. I think I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum here. I think at least in the past, like, probably like year and a half, I feel like since I turned like maybe like 25, I think my sex drive is a lot lower. And yeah. I think I've had like a sex drive like mismatch with my girlfriend. It was like a pretty contentious issue. It was probably the most contentious issue in our relationship for like the first year, because she wanted to have sex a lot more than I did. And I wouldn't say she wasn't doing anything wrong. There was like nothing going on. Like, there was just an issue of her wanting to more often than I did. And then because I didn't want to, I think there were aspects of that she internalized or felt sad about, because I remember the first, there was probably like 3 months into dating. It was like before we were officially together. There was just a day where I said I didn't want to have sex, and then she was like sad and like kind of pissed at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? Because she was pissed like the next day, and I didn't understand what was happening because she hadn't like said anything. And and then she told me that like nobody has ever said no before. Like, no guy has ever said no. And I was just like, that's crazy.
Yeah, what else do I say to that? Dave, that's crazy is all I got.
Yeah, Dave. Like, I just...
There's nothing wrong with you.
It was funny because it was just, like, from a guy's perspective, like, that's, like... It's, like, of course that's happened. Like, that happened so... That's happened a bunch in my life. Like, that's what do you mean? But
Shit, I've been there.
But in the jokes aside, the answer I told her, I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I have to be able to say no, like, in this and have it not be a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm at least initially, right? But what this rose into over time is I realized that a big part of us having sex is like not just about, you know, not just about whether I happen to be horny enough to want to at like some given moment. It's like a dynamic part of your relationship that like makes you feel closer to the person and is like a big part of like the other person feeling like loved and recognized and desired, and there is like some sort of like compromise to find there. I'm not saying for the people that have lower sex drives that you need to just like cough it up whenever for the sake of it. That's not what I mean. But I think what me and my partner did was talk about our sexual relationship a lot, talk about things we could do, things we could try, or if there was any sort of like other issue in our relationship, sometimes there would be periods of time where I realized like some sort of like passive issue or resentment was actually something that was informing like her or my sex drive to some degree. And by addressing the problem, you'd kind of like unearth the issue and like be more excited to have sex again.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a more eloquent way of saying like things like when people talk about something like makeup sex, that's kind of what they mean, is because you go through some sort of like emotional taxing conversation or period of time with somebody, with your partner specifically, and that's like it's like kind of consummated in a moment by sex,
because
it makes
like,
people feel closer together.
I almost feel like that's like the most common situation, is like there's just like a problem that needs to be fleshed out and like talked about for like a long period of time, like you just have to figure it out.
Which kind of leads me into the second part I wanted to answer, but I'll stay in the first world where I take everything you're saying at face value. The core of what you're saying needs to be addressed by like communicating and seeing if you can find like some sort of like middle ground, or ask some sort of question that enable maybe like just finds a balance between your two sex drives, which is like what I kind of did with my partner. It's like and then as time passes, it's not the same for everybody, but it might even out in a different direction, right? Your sex drive might change as like time passes. Like I said, like once I hit like 25, 26, my sex drive is a lot different now than I think it used to be in like my early 20s, and that'll be different for different people. But there's no version of this you can sort out with like having some sort of longer, heavier conversation about like why this is the case. And I think one thing I wanted to note is when you have that conversation, I think it's important to like not frame it in like a kind of like a victim-y way here. Like, you don't need to, like, guilt trip your partner about, like, not having sex, or be like, do you not like me? Do you not think I'm hot? Like, the kind of deal is, like, try to, like, assert yourself while also, like, politely getting into the issues of what might be going on without, you know, attacking them about it. The second part I wanted to answer related to, like, getting into, like, underlying issues or resentment of, like, what might be informing this is... I'm not here to like overanalyze what you're saying and tell you definitely did something wrong or something, because you might just be like a great guy who happens to have a mismatch in sex drive, and this is just how it is, exactly how you've described it. But I do think your recount of your previous relationship feels a little weird, in that the way it's like, I don't know, she blocked you at the end of it and then like immediately went and had sex with somebody else. I'm not it doesn't have anything to do with like your self-worth or your attractiveness or something like that. But it makes me feel something maybe about the way you like communicated with that person or like the maybe just like the dynamic of your relationship. It's good not to guilt trip yourself, not to say like, damn, I'm a shitty guy, or maybe I did something wrong, or maybe I'm not hot enough. Don't be like get down on yourself, but maybe just give like an honest reflection of like how you communicated in that relationship. Were you a giving person? Did you like clean the house and do like give your partner gifts? And like, were you a generous, kind, an understanding person to your partner throughout that relationship? And I think those things contribute much more passively to people's sex drives than they probably interpret. Not always. It's not that always inhibiting something. It's not always determining something. But I think for a lot of people, that fuels their general sex drive. Like it's very intertwined to it. So don't be too hard on yourself. I'm not here to like flame you and say you fucked up and you don't deserve happiness or something. It sounds like your current relationship is fantastic. I'm saying like when you think about the old relationship and how things were going back then, be honest about who you were and how you treated that person and what you were like in that relationship. And maybe if if you can see any of the issues or like patterns kind of like matching up with what's going on now after you've been honest with yourself, maybe you can make some changes to just improve your relationship. And then maybe the sex drive on your partner's end will just improve alongside that. I know that a lot of things I think through good weeks in my relationship where we feel like really, really close to each other, we want to have sex more because the other emotional aspects of our relationship are really, really strong and really, really good. And those things like interlock with one another. But just think about those things a lot.
You're just kind of spitting over there.
Sheesh.
Honestly, I forgot about the first part because it was kind of like they were two different things completely. Yeah. So I wasn't really even thinking about the first part.
Yeah, which is okay. Yeah, good luck with this. I think this is something that a lot of people deal with in like very different ways. The context shifts for a lot of people. For some people, it's like, you know, sex is a really, really important part of relationships, I think, for a lot of people. And it can be enough of a reason to break something off if like a compromise or if like an issue isn't solved. And I think that's if you've given it the appropriate time and communication and that's what you've determined, I think that's okay. But yeah. Yeah,
I feel like it's a pretty common issue with most people, and some people figure it out earlier than others.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it's pretty easy to like self-reflect sooner than later sometimes, but yeah.
I got a Quebin for, wait, what? Can you see the time? Can you see what time it says on the recording thing? Like how much we've gone?
It says 7 hours and 12 minutes.
It just cannot say
it
that.
It says 7 hours, oh sorry, it's my bad. 6 hours and 40 minutes. Dude, I can't see it.
Giant red.
Oh, that's my bad. 43 minutes. Dude, I was looking
at the giant red text.
I was looking at the bottom number, bro.
Oh my god.
Sorry, I'm not fucking educated on every camera in this goddamn fucking room.
This is a giant red
text. Dude, you do this every week.
I do this every week.
You do?
Yeah, but I can't see it. I have to lean
down. So why don't you ever sit in the chair that can see it if you're the damn master advisor?
Oh, that's true. Fair enough. Okay, this is kind of another relationship question. I don't think we've been asked this question before, so I thought it was interesting.
I've never been asked it ever. So
this is from Ethan, who is 23, also 23. Okay, hey, it's Ethan. Hey, just guys. Went through a breakup with my girlfriend of 7 years when we had been dating since I was 16, and now I'm getting nudges to explore a new connection with somebody. I'll try to keep it short and concise. By the way, I popped up in episode 2 of The Advice Show. Remember the moving out question? There's been a lot of moving out questions, Ethan. I'm
Dude,
sorry.
Ethan's asking good questions because you're always answering them.
But if you're getting two questions on the show, it means they got to be dece. So here's the deal. I ended things with my ex due to personal growth, constant bickering, and love bombing sessions, and her growing super dependent on me. I was basically helping with her GED, taxes, and other things, practically doing things for her. The breakup was tough, but that part is easing up.
What's funny?
Sorry, it's nothing that was said that's funny, but the breakup was tough. Breakup is capitalized, so it's like an event.
I just why, something or like funny? A place. I don't know. I don't know. Just the fact that breakup is capitalized made me laugh. Okay?
It's an important thing.
Explain. Now the kicker is I started having feelings for someone else, which in part actually prompted the breakup to happen since I figured that's a huge sign to break things off. The twist, she likes me back, and we both know it. Our mutual friends have been feeding each other info on each other's feelings. That's how they know. But she has just gotten out of a breakup too. I genuinely care about her and don't want this to feel like a rebound for either of us. I tend to fall for people quickly, so it's tough for me to dial back my advances. Not sure what to do. Any advice? So I think the general idea of like rebounding out of long relationships and like, should you jump into something long term after you've just been in something long term, I don't know, something that I think a lot of people grapple with or think about. I was curious what you had to say about it. Think about it.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, fucking you.
You're talking to
you
me.
Dude. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Sorry.
So I didn't look you in the eyes. What do you think?
You were just staring at your laptop, so I thought you were still reading.
Yeah,
because
I was reading the question. I was reading some questions.
Okay. Gotcha. God
reading
damn.
The question.
I actually think the whole rebound thing is kind of a meme. Because I don't think like people are like rebounds per se. I mean, like you just.
I don't think anybody. Yeah, that is fair.
Like, I kind of hate the term rebound. Like it feels so mean to like the next person you're like talking to. You know, like I feel like you just happen to like a new. Like I don't think that when you break up from X amount of years, there's like a set time you can't like someone new.
No, I agree.
Like some people are attached to their ex, and some people are able to like. Like it sounds like he was kind of maybe I'm assuming, but it sounds like he was resenting his ex in a way where he was like kind of ready to like move on.
Exit, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't like sound like I don't know. He was with her for a long time, but
I agree with Nick Yingling. I've never been a big fan of the term rebound either. I think the main thing I would think about is like if one of your goals with like breaking up with somebody and getting out of this relationship was to like relieve yourself of a lot of the pressure that you were put under in that relationship, and you want the sort of like freedom and autonomy that like comes with being single in like a general sense, I wouldn't quickly jump back into another like long-term relationship. But sometimes people just like meet the right person, you know, and you click heavy and you think it's going to be really good and you recognize like the problems in your own relationship and you're pretty confident those problems aren't going to be here with this like new person. And then maybe it just like wasn't that much time and you rather be with this new person than like be single or have the benefits of like being single that you're originally seeking. It depends. I think it depends like how. What aspects of being single you actually like want, and do you want it more than you think this relationship with this new person could be? I also think that you don't have to jump headfirst into a full-on relationship with this person if you're explicit about like wanting like time and space because of like the breakup you came from. I think you can be like honest and communicative with somebody like this.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like you could like be more casual because of like your specific situation. That way you don't feel like you're just like committing yourself like right away. Like you're like you just get to like live life in a way that is not like so like right there,
right
back in the same place.
The bad parts of a quote like rebound that I see come from like being dishonest with somebody or come from a sense of like codependency that you were trying to escape. So like a bad follow-up to your relationship is you're out of something that was maybe like toxic or you were like heavily reliant on that person or they were heavily reliant on you. And then out of comfort and sort of like desperation, you immediately seek out like the same type of relationship in person from somebody else. And basically, like, instead of taking the time to remove this, like, toxic thing from your life that existed, you just immediately jump into, like, the same cycle.
You just start over.
And then the other, like, bad rebound, I would say, is, like, where you exit and then you, like, lie to somebody about your intentions to like sleep with them. That's not even like really specific to rebounding, but like if you just like, if you jumped out of a relationship and then knew you didn't want to be in a relationship, but then like lied to somebody who like likes you to like sleep with them and for the sake, just for the sake of sleeping with somebody new because you're out of a relationship, then I think that'd be really shitty. That's, again, that's shitty in general, not just in the context of like post breakup with somebody, but those are the bad versions that I think people should not do and like avoid in my mind. But I think if you're, if you just talk to this like new person and are honest with them about taking it slow and like needing space or it being like low maintenance or having like few obligations, at least in the short term, because you're in that relationship for 7 years, I think that's something people can be like understanding of. And then they can make the call on their end, like whether it's worth their time or not.
Yeah. It's pretty easy for them to like also just like navigate their own like space too. It's like they don't know what you're expecting after. Like, I feel like when you talk to someone who gets out of a long relationship, you don't exactly know how to navigate like what they're looking for right away and like stuff like that, unless like they straight up like tell you explicitly like,
yeah,
what's going on.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty important.
The key thing is definitely being honest and communicative, though, because I think by being like wishy-washy with the person or like even like a little dishonest about like why you want things to be casual, I think there's a common situation where people will be like, I just don't want to take it too seriously, but like maybe in a little bit, I just need more time. And then they kind of go through that cycle of like telling somebody who's like kind of hanging on to hope that it's going to get serious.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a shitty thing to do, is like waste people's time and like have them hold on to hope when they're
when you're
being dishonest about it, or like maybe there's flat out no hope, or maybe it's like a long,
it's like you want to keep a person around because like you like the attention they give you sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but like you don't want them all the time kind of thing, and that person wants you all the time.
Yeah. And you can't provide. Shouldn't do that to somebody. So that's kind of my big thoughts on it. I don't know, Nikki Lane. Have you dated a lot of people in your day? Have you had a lot of girlfriends?
I feel like I was definitely a pretty like get around kind of guy back in the day.
You're getting around?
Yeah. I was definitely talking to one too many girls
you're always
my 18 to 20 years old phase.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely enjoy not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, honestly, it's just fucking better. It's just better not to have a billion people to talk to. Also, I think I valued, like, having just, like, to hang out with my friends more than, like, talking to, like, a girl. Like, mm-hmm. a billion girls. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like that was, like, my life. When I was like a super young adult, and now it's like I just don't value that anymore. Like, I just fucking value so many other things more. And so
yeah, there is kind
of, I don't
of
know,
a
it's kind of similar to what you said earlier, how like your sex drive went down when you were 25. Like similar to like that kind of happened to me too, and it's like I just have other things I care about so much more now.
Yeah, there's sort of this transition.
Really,
I think it's like there's like the, you know, maybe there's like the young man aspect of it, of like you're a fucking horny teenager or a horny
broke.
College student, and you're broke,
you don't have shit to do.
And you don't have shit to do, and you just want to talk to girls all the time, and there's a sense of like validation from it and all these things that you seek. It's like there's like a mental and like confidence thing that people seek from those like conversations, but also like you're literally hormonally charged in a way that you might not be when you're older.
Yeah.
I think the other part that is like leveled out, like that's not like sex drive or like hormonal or something like that, is the like confidence part too.
Yeah.
Is like realizing that talking to a girl and like having like, or like going on dates or like flirting with people or doing that is not like this measurement of value for myself. Like I think there's kind of this toxic culture growing up that like women's desire of you as a man like is a lot of like where your validation and like confidence comes from, so you seek it out constantly.
Oh, yeah.
But as you get older and you settle more into, like, your routine and what you want out of your life and your own, like, self-image, you don't need to seek out that, like, validation as much anymore because you realize other things are, like, more important.
Yeah.
Like, your self-worth comes from different things. Your relationships with women are more, or, like, not even with women specifically, but, like, anybody, are more about, like, the value of the relationship itself and not just their validation of you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's something that, I don't know, that's something I've thought a lot about. I kind of realized that I remember the night that it happened, but I, like, had come back from, like a one-night stand in college, and I felt, like, really, really shitty about myself, and I was, like, wondering why, because I had felt that way a lot, like, recently that year. I was like, why do I feel like this? And I had to, like, I dug into myself for a while and kind of realized that I was seeking a lot of validation through, like, sex and, like, people I was talking to, or women I was talking to, especially.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, like, not a healthy way to, like, validate myself. I need to have, like, more holistic relationships with people. Not literally a romantic relationship, but have, like, just, like, more normal self-confidence and have better relationships with the people around me in general.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I had something similar happened to me when I was, like, 20, 21, something like that.
Yeah, I think I was also 20 when,
just,
yeah,
like,
I was, like,
just, like, have sex with, like, someone for, like, a one-night stand, you're like, huh, this, like, doesn't, I don't know, just not what I want anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why it happens that way. At least, I don't know why it happened for me that way, but it's just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a brain click.
I think it happens for, you know, maybe happens for some people, happens, maybe it doesn't happen for some. I don't know. I'm not even saying, like, one night stands are specifically bad.
Yeah,
I just, like, had this realization that the way they were happening for me and, like, the circumstance, or, like, the reasons I was saying, like, yes to people were bad.
Yeah.
And I needed to, like, fix those things. Because hooking up with people, I think, is, like, something that can be fun, cool, and, like,
yeah,
isn't a big deal. That can be a good thing. But the reasons of, like, why it's happening, or why I feel these ways about myself, or, like, what I need to work on. So that's a little, like, further from this question.
Yeah, but it's not really about that question at all.
But it just, like, made me think about
thoughts,
that.
Some extra Aiden thoughts.
Yeah. All right, how was it, man?
It's looking like 7 hours and 25 minutes now.
How was it, dude?
I like your advice, man.
It's not 7 hours, bro. It wasn't 7 hours. You think we were up here for 7 hours?
Dude, I feel like you're giving me a tryout for the advice show because no one wants to do advice. And you're like, well, I gotta give him a pilot episode now.
I gotta give a new man on the roster. We have rotated a lot of people through this show.
Because no one wants to keep doing it?
No, I think it's just, like, the most, like, flexible. Not because no one wants to do it. Anthony doesn't want to do it. But
what about Dubbin?
Dubbin will do it when he's available.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so nice of him.
Yeah. I think I like having more guests on this show specifically because the shift or difference in perspective from different people is fun.
It's kind
of
cool, too. Because
people have different ways of, like, going about answering these questions, and they just have different lives. So they have...
Yeah. Miles, me, Dawson, and Ludwig are all going to have different answers to every question.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of unique.
I think there was two episodes we did a while back where we did two different pairs of people for, like, the same questions.
You just asked the same...
We answered the same questions, or maybe it was just one of the same questions, but we had two, like, it was, like, me and Ludwig did it one episode, and then Nick and Anthony did.
Oh,
and then
I
there's,
like,
saying. It's interesting to see the differences in people's answers.
So the advice show is not Aiden's advice show, it's everyone's advice show.
It is everyone's.
Damn.
It's the yard.
Thought it was just Eamon's.
No, not really, except last week's where it was just... Okay, well, do you want to come back? Do you think they want you back?
No.
Okay, well.
I mean, I'll come back. You don't have anybody else, man. You have no one.
I'll have a shirt on next time.
You have literally no one who will do the show with you.
You did it. You just did it with me.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're fucking, I'm literally all you have.
That's, I feel like that's not true. Otto's in the other room.
You think Otto's going to do advice?
Yeah, Otto would do advice.
No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't. Actually, he wouldn't.
I know he wouldn't.
Fuck, then he'd have to face reveal.
Yeah, he would have to face reveal.
Yeah.
Is this a video show?
Yeah.
Is there video?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What do you think the fucking cameras are for?
I've never seen the video. I always listen with audio only. I only audio listen to the advice show. I've watched all 90 episodes. Oh, I've listened to all 90 episodes with my ears. Don't turn the fucking recording off. Leave it on!